Darcy Holmes is a 22-year-old artist and engineer from Ramsgate who's recently returned from an epic adventure in Antarctica. Here on The Dominic King Show tonight, we hear about the Kent Scout, who was part of the team from Request 2021 that commemorated the Shackleton Rowan expedition of 100 years ago and travelled aboard the sailing ship Bark Europa.
100 years ago, Shackleton, on his last expedition down to Antarctica, he took two scouts with him. To commemorate that, we were doing almost a parallel 100 years later. And so there was 10 of us that went, 8 from Kent, 2 from Scotland, and we really wanted to remember that and the legacy they left behind.
Hey guys, Bear Grylls here, Chief Scout, and this is a message for every one of our incredible scouts and volunteers heading off to Antarctica.
We do some film or, like, you know, some artwork to just show what's happening, then I suppose that's one small thing that we can we can try and make a change.
It's nice to go on an expedition or a trip like this where it's a bit more than just us going away. We're trying to actually have an impact on other people.
The whole legacy.
Here on the programme, we heard you all getting ready in South America to head off on that trip and to travel through the Drake Passage and head your way towards Antarctica. It was such an epic journey, and the tall ship you were on, quite incredible.
Yeah, the Bark Europa. It's kind of hard to put into words. When we saw it, you know, we came off the plane into Ushuaia and we were driving through to the where we would be quarantined, and we could see it, you know, sat in the docks. It was such a weird time because we didn't know, you know, an absolute yes if we were able to get on the boat or anything like that. So It was so close but so far away, and it's just beautiful. It's such a beautiful ship, and we're so lucky to have that opportunity to sail on it.
Is it hard now, actually, Darcy, to think about what you all did? Because very often, whenever you go on a big trip, and this is an epic one, you often kind of don't really take it all in at the time. It's only when you sort of look back, whether it be on photos or pictures, or in your case, the illustrations that you have done, that you kind of let it seep in.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I think for the first probably 5 days, the crossing of the Drake, at least, it didn't feel real. Like, being on the ship, it felt like almost in a virtual reality, and it was hard to get your brain to take in. And they were saying how dangerous it was going to be, you know, with the water and everything, and your brain's trying to connect that this was real, and if you fall off, it, you know, there's things that could happen, and your brain just doesn't connect. So yeah, it was hard then, and now going back and people say, oh my word, I wouldn't be able to do that. And to be honest, I think even we were trying to kind of figure out in our heads, we're there in the moment trying to process everything and then coming back and trying to process it all again. So yes, it's almost different stages of disbelief.
Alan Noak, the team leader, was making a point to us on the programme about, you know, all these different aspects of the trip itself. A beacon of hope and peace for all diverse nations and creeds working in harmony. A living environmental lab for climate change and Antarctic wildlife. A rich heritage of scouting's connection with the global age of polar exploration. All these amazing points, you know, summed up really in peace, environment and heritage. The arts have played a massive part as well in this journey, because you all as individuals came with your own skill base, didn't you? You all came with something that you were able to offer the group.
Yes, exactly. And everyone had their niche, and not just arts and science and geography and, you know, political understanding. And a lot of people had read, and, you know, Alan and Kathy particularly knew so much about the original voyage, you know, 100 years ago. You were learning and, you know, absorbing all of this understanding, and then you're taking in everyone's kind of learning from each other. And it was nice that I was able to kind of share my love of art with other people and creativity and get them involved and looking at, you know, we'll go into such a beautiful environment and we're seeing this beautiful landscape, but then I would say about the colours. And then the next day, it was really lovely that, you know, Lucy turned around to me and said, oh, there's some reds in there in the sky. And I said, that's just amazing to hear that I've kind of passed that on to you. And but that was the same with everyone. You know, you're taking a little bit of understanding from their backgrounds.
On my Facebook page right now, at Dominic King BBC, you can see a collection of six of images that you have shared with us. And they are just a part of a whole bunch of images that you created. Now, I want you to take us into your world of creating this kind of art. When did you start actually knowing that this was something you loved to do?
I've always loved, you know, looking at things a different way. As an engineer, I think I fell into it kind of, and the idea of STEAM, so looking at science and technology through art, and, you know, it's that bit of creativity. That whole style that you can see, I'd never tried it before, and that was kind of a big risk, but I love that. I love going in and it's like, well, I've never tried it, I've never done pen with watercolor, let's just go. And you, so if you look at my first painting that I did in the airport in Madrid when we were on our way to one of my last paintings, the extreme, just the improvement and the way I'm learning as I go, it's lovely to see as a personal kind of development, but also, you know, how I'm looking at and taking in what I'm seeing and then putting it down on paper. But yeah, lots of inspiration. I'm quite lucky that my mum took me to lots of art galleries, so I had a lot of people, role models to look up to, and take in what they were putting out there and then try and use it in what I enjoyed doing. So yeah,
we can see some of the images of actually when you're there in the Antarctic, and I just wonder how visceral that image was in your head, translated from what you were seeing around you. What did that feel like as an artist to physically put it there in front of you?
Oh, do you know what? It's hard to, personally, I find it hard to take a step back and kind of appreciate it. I appreciate it so much more now that I'm not there, because when you're in that moment and painting those things live, you're actually around all this place and you're taking a moment to take a step back and not looking at it to paint it. So you don't appreciate it in that moment, but now I appreciate it a lot more. And I think to so many people on the trip, the Voyage crew that we were with, they would come over and he said, you've captured that moment so well. And like, not just a picture, it's a memory that you've captured in that artwork. And I'm not doing like for like. I'm, you know, a lot of the things, one of my favorite paintings is the one where Lucy's pretending to be a penguin and she's waddling like one. And it wasn't exactly how it was in real life, but it's how we remember it, because it's that what stays in your mind for the foreseeable future. And I'm trying to get people to share in that.
I was trying to get my head around how cold you must have been when you when you were trying to paint.
Yeah, pretty cold. It was a lot of the time it was trying to, it was more the worry of when the ship was rocking. the paints and my water would splash out. And yeah, that was an interesting one. I think the picture of Port Lockroy, they say I was doing just as we were going back onto the Drake, I was touching, like doing the pen and the line work. And, the lines as I was going on, you know, I would kind of have a big wobble in the middle where we were rocking with the waves. But it's a memory, because I look at it now and I can see where, you know, it with the rough weather, it's just another thing that you're remembering from that moment.
I reckon that makes it so much more special, and it has a story behind the creation as well, which makes it even more valuable as a piece of art. Can I ask... Are you going to have a gallery exhibition?
Yeah, that's the aim. Along with the quilt, that was mentioned previously. I would love to put all of this together and also take in everyone else's projects. You know, we've been learning so much about the environment and the, you know, Alan's soundscapes and the microplastics and seasickness. And I know it's difficult, but it'll be lovely to tie that and then visualize it in a different way. Probably not the seasickness, because that's a bit over the top, but we'll see what we can do. And feeding into the legacy, and hopefully this is another way of taking it on and funding the legacy fund, so future scouts can do polar research in the future.
I bet you never ever want to see a yellow bucket again.
Yeah, that's true. I'm quite lucky. I didn't use the yellow bucket.
A lot of people did.
A lot of people did. Some people just didn't make it to the yellow bucket. And that's what I'm going to say about it. I think that's one thing. It's hard to visualise, but we definitely knew on deck which way the wind was going in case you had to get to the side very quickly. But yeah, that's a visual in itself, and I'm going to leave it like that.
Do take a look at Darcy Holmes' collection that she's curated for us on my Facebook page at Dominic King BBC right now, and see the stories of all the expedition mates from Kent Scouts at request2021.org.uk.